Blog Talk Radio.
Reruns, and I've been working on all kinds of new stuff, so it's really wonderful to be back here at 1020 Studios this Saturday morning in the Northwest. It is actually balmy outside. I've been up for a bit, and it's really, I was just checking the beds, the garden beds, that is, and thinking about what I need to get my hands in there today, and that'll be happening a little bit later, but right now we are here at Foodomania for the appetizing show. First of all, I want to tell everybody thank you so much for all your support. Because of your support, Blog Talk has considered me and made me, for the time being, a featured artist. What does that mean exactly? Well, it means that your picture is a little bit bigger than the other people that have shows in the food world, and that you go to the top of the page, and that they, it's a little bit extra, you know, input from people about the show. And I have to say that it's really surprised me when I check the statistics, because, you know, when I do the show, I'm generally with my, you know, me, myself, and I, the dogs, and then, of course, a guest host occasionally, and Rhonda E., of course, when she participates and she's available, and some other different guests that I've had, which have been great. I'm not one to check the statistics of all my shows that I do. I just hope the best statistic is the emails that I get, and something like that for recognition. So thank you very much. It means a lot to me. It just makes me want to do more shows and get more excited. All right. You know, the appetizer show is sort of a timeless kind of show, and I figured I'd start off my welcome back with that, because right now I'm doing sort of a, how do you explain it, kind of a cleansing as far as some diet issues and things are concerned, and I've decided to follow the lead of someone who is doing this basically cleansing kind of thing, where she didn't plan it for a very long time, but suddenly finds herself almost like at the beginning of the food chain, doing nothing but raw and fresh food for a while, eliminating everything that's white, everything that's sugar, and everything that's salt and bread and certain breads and starches, et cetera. I'll tell you, it's been about 2 weeks, and I'm feeling really good because I think over the winter, generally speaking, and through the holidays, you start eating things a little of this, a little of that, and it sticks to your bones. And not only weight wise, but you also feel, you know, sort of a little low key, a little, would be the word, you know, quiet, lethargic. Sometimes you get tired a lot, and I find myself just being really where I want to be. In fact, yesterday I just put on a pair of shorts that I hadn't worn in several months, and it felt really good to get those on with no problem. All right, that's my personal view on cleansing. But today we're far from that. We're going to talk about appetizers. Now, you know, appetizers reach different levels. If you're doing a party and you're planning, you know, an event, it takes a bigger stage because you're, you know, usually making advertisements for lots of people. And so the amounts change and the work changes. I've found that there's different things to do. Lots of times when you're just making a simple dinner for a partner or just the family, you go right to it. You know, time is always in essence, and you don't have, you know, sometimes the luxury of really, really taking, you know, tremendous time to make a lot of extra things for certain meals. And then, of course, as everybody's thinking, like I was talking a little bit earlier, doing a little cleansing after the winter before you hit the spring and the summer, just to sort of, you know, get, embrace all the fresh and the new growing vegetables and things locally that will be coming up. You want to sort of get your palate and get your body and your mind ready for that. But for appetizers, sometimes it's really sets this little tone and makes something really special for a meal you do. Now, you know, lots of times you've probably gone out to eat and you just order appetizers, and a lot of people do anyway. They just order a bunch of the appetizers and they kind of share everything, and then you're not fixed to having to count all your blessings on one course that you may just love or not. It gives you a chance to try different things. And in the world of appetizers, which is really amazing, there's so many different, you know, traditional things that people always make. Stuffed mushrooms, cold shrimp, like a shrimp cocktail, fruit skewers, right? That sort of thing, crackers, cheeses, sliced meats, all those things. And they're all really good, but, you know, I wanted to take it and make something a little bit different. So let's center around the first one. And by the way, all these recipes and things that we'll be talking about today, you'll be able to write to me and get hard copies of everything so that you can try them at home. You can go to the Chef's Orders Foodomania on Facebook right now, like me, I mean, if you want to, and to get a gander at some pictures that are up there right now of some of the things we'll be talking about today. So if we start out with, you know, with a basic ingredient that I think is something you can go pretty far with and do a bunch of different things, if you desire to do something that's slightly fried as one of your appetizers, any sort of wonton wrapper or egg roll wrapper made out of generally a rice needle is really an essential ingredient. And the thing about them that's so great is that, you know, you basically can stuff all kinds of things in them. And the cooking process, if you do the oil right, it's only a minute or so, if that long, to just fry up the outsides. And pretty much everything that you're going to do in wonton or egg roll wraps, for the most part, is going to be cooked to some degree. So therefore, you know, you're already starting with something that's already cooked. All you're doing is packaging it up, basically, in a little way. Simply put, you can go to your produce section, and there's several different varieties of wraps that you can get. You have the standard larger squares, which run about 6 by 6, I believe, and then you have the small little wonton wrappers. Now, what I've learned is when I buy the big ones, and use the big ones, I can usually cut them into the size of the wonton I might want, plus do something a little bit different. Most of the wonton wraps are little squares, but I know lots of times you've seen little round ones, and that's where having these egg roll wrappers at room temperature, and then making sure in your arsenal of tools that you have a pizza cutter, and that pizza cutter is going to allow you to make some more fancy shapes, and then basically a fork standing by just to crimp the edges. That's your general tools for this. I also like to have a little bowl of water with just a little warm water. And if I'm wearing a little safety, you know, rubber glove or something, what I'm going to do is use that water to seal the egg roll. So what I'll use is a little teeny brand new, clean, only used for food brush, like a small little paintbrush works really good. And then you can brush the edges of the wraps with a little bit of water and stick them together really good, and then use your little fork to crimp them. Okay, what are we going to put in them? Let's keep it simple. In a lot of cases, you could do things that are just very simple and delicious. One of the things I like to do is get a medium-sized prawn or shrimp, clean it really well, make sure you get the belly out and get the veins out, give it a little rinse and do a simple butterfly on it once you're clean, remove the tail, and then go ahead and steam them until they're just absolutely changing color to pink. They don't have to be totally cooked. They can be a little translucent, and because we like our shrimp not totally overcooked. A lot of people boil them to rubber capacity for shrimp cocktails, and you bite into it, and you're biting into a shrimp-tasting piece of rubber, basically. So that's what I would do. I would butterfly it, and I would steam them just till they change color. This is one of your prepped items. Go ahead and drain those and put them in a bowl. Another thing you could do is what I really like to do if you're doing something really simple is take a small little dish and put about half of a package of cream cheese in it, a couple of drops of cream. Then what I like to do is take some finely grated Parmesan cheese, about a tablespoon and a half, and go ahead and mix it into that. Then a little teeny bit of fresh garlic paste made from nice shucked cloves that you can mash yourself. And what I usually do is mash it, put it in a jar, add a little olive oil to the jar, and keep it in the fridge to use it later. So then I'll take a little teeny dollop of that nice garlicky oil paste and mix it in with the cream cheese and the Parmesan cheese. All right, that's the second item. So we have your steamed shrimp and your cream cheese right there. Now, of course, crab always works well. And if you have some nice fresh crab meat, or you have you can buy some cooked crab and then take the meat out. If you want to, do something a little less expensive, you can go for a surimi, you can go for the imitation crab. And, if you get the high quality stuff, it's really not too bad. But, frankly, it's a matter of taste. Now, as far as another sort of seafood, I'd like you to get some medium scallops, which are wonderful. And then what I like to do is I like to take them and just like dip each side just a little bit into a little bit of olive oil and that garlic paste, then get a little pan going and go ahead and braise them on all sides. You don't have to cook them all the way. You just want a little color, and go ahead and get your little bowl of scallops that way. That's fantastic. Another thing you can do, if we're talking fish, which we're sort of in the fish world right now for these wontons, go ahead and get yourself a little bit of salmon. And this works really good. Then I take a little bit of grated onion. One of the things that people like to do is saute them first and then sort of put them in a grate, so you're getting a little bit of this sort of onion paste with little teeny pieces of flake of onion in it, so you get a little bit of taste and chew. And then, of course, you have your cream cheese mixture, so that'll be another one. Let's just go ahead and make these. Now, as far as the shrimp ones are concerned, go ahead and take a square, the large egg roll wrapper. And this is a fun thing to do. What I do is I take the wrapper in the center. I'll place three shrimp across it, okay? And then just make sure you leave about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch on the end to tuck it in. Go ahead and tuck the sides in. Flip over the first side of your egg roll wrap and go ahead and roll it. Not super tight, but tight enough so you'll see the impression of the shrimp sort of work its way to the inside of the egg roll wrap. Then you can take your little clean, little fresh used baby paintbrush and dip it in the water and go ahead, give it a line of water right along the edge of it right before you seal it, and there you go. So you got the ends tucked in and you got it nice and tight. Go ahead and put those aside. And now we're going to take our cream cheese, and this time we're going to take our egg roll wrapper and cut it into quarters, and then go ahead and take a spoonful of the cream cheese and stick it right in the center of that egg roll wrap. And then right over the top, you make a little triangle. Go ahead and put that little water along the edge. Go ahead and put the top over that. Press the edges down, and then I like to use a little fork and crimp the edges of it. Go ahead and make your plain cream cheese and little garlic and little Parmesan wraps. Now, the next one, I want you to do the same thing, but I want you to add a little bit of that salmon to it as well. Okay, so go ahead and make a little smoked salmon cream cheese egg roll wrap. A wonton wrap, and that'll be great. Put that aside. You'll love it. And then finally, what I want you to do for the scallops is after you have them braised, this is going to be cool. You're going to take the egg roll wraps and cut them in half because we want a big piece here. You're going to go ahead and place the scallop and cut the scallop in half depending on how big it is, so you get two even nice rounds of scallop, and go ahead and lay them in the wrap that way. Now, a little bit of green onion over the top, which I really like, and then go ahead and do the same thing. This is like a mini egg roll looking thing. You're going to tuck the sides in. You're going to give it a little roll, a little bit of water on the edge. Go ahead and press it down really well. Make sure it sticks together, and go ahead and do all your scallops that way. One scallop, if it's a large scallop, cut in half is going to be suffice for a half of an egg roll wrap. If they're small scallops, you may be able to get away with putting two in there, and that will work just fine. All right, we have these three luscious combinations of things that we're going to fry. Let me tell you how to fry it up. And before we do, I want to get our sauces together. Now, I like to have a couple of dipping sauces when I do appetizers so that people can sort of choose. You're not forcing something on anybody, and the basic combination is really good. Here's what I like to do. I like to make a mousseline. That's my first one, and we're going to take just, remember, depending on how many, you're going to do about a third to a half a cup of fresh, you know, really nice mayonnaise, safflower mayonnaise, something really healthy. If you've made your own, that's even better. And then a half a cup of just basic sour cream. In that, you're going to squeeze about 2 teaspoons of lime juice, cut up some fresh cilantro, add it to the mixture. Now, you want a shot glass full of Thai chili sauce. That's the sweet red Thai chili sauce, and you can get that in all kinds of places. You can save some money if you go to the Asian market and buy the Muay Poloi, the big bottles, and you can get them generally for $3 to $4, where you pay about $10 in the grocery. And then go ahead and put that shot glass full of that Muay Poloi in that mixture, go ahead and mix it all together, and you got this beautiful salmon-colored mousse, and I call it mousseline, and just put that aside. That's your first dipping sauce. The second dipping sauce is really simple. You're just going to take your Thai chili sauce and go ahead and put that in a nice little bowl. What I like to do to beef it up a little bit is I squeeze a little lime in it, and I put some fresh cilantro. Fresh cilantro, to me, with dipping sauces is like Ike and Mike, toast and butter. Peanut butter and jelly, you know, pizza and cheese. You got to mix that stuff together. All right, so that's a couple of different dipping sauces. Another thing that some people like, and you can make your own, but it's so much easier to get it. If you can go to the Asian section in your market and apply something that they simply call duck sauce. No ducks involved at all. It's just what they call, because it's like a dipping sauce that originally was put together to have served with maybe some sliced duck or something like that, and it goes really well, as a matter of fact. Now, go ahead and get some of that, and that's a really nice dipping. So some people like to use a hoisin, and then as far as the heat's concerned, you can add that sweet Thai chili sauce has a little heat to it, but you can always add a little crushed pepper flakes to any of the three sauces I just talked about, and that'll take care of that. All right, we're spending a lot of time on this, but this is worth it. You have this beautiful set of dipping appetizers. You can do other things with the wrappers as well for that part of your platter. Okay, the next one is something I really love. You want to get some phyllo dough. We're talking about some dough. Get it, it comes frozen to roll. We're going to make two different things with phyllo dough real quick in the time we have left. First of all, is a sweet dish. I love this. It's so cool. You lay out your small little phyllo dough, and you're going to cut, like, again, about 4x4 pockets, almost the size of a little pad or something like that. And what you're going to do with the phyllo dough is really simply, it layers. And the thing that is beautiful when I say it layers is the beauty of phyllo dough, if you've ever had a baklava or some sort of pastry or a spanakopita using the phyllo dough, which we're going to make right now, you use a bunch of different layers. I'm going to tell you how to make the spanakopita in just a second, but this is a dessert that it's a take on something that I used to have years ago, which was a stuffed date. And they used to take a date, and you can still do this, take the date, take out the pit, put a little cream cheese inside the date, take a piece of nice bacon and wrap, roll it around the date, put a toothpick in it, and go ahead and broil that for about 4 minutes. It's a bacon, date, and cream cheese appetizer. That'll just blow your mind. Those are great. So that's another one. Chalk that off for another appetizer on the list. But these phyllo dough things take it a little further. What I've done is I've taken a small little bowl with a little bit of melted butter and a nice little clean pastry brush, and I'm going to take my phyllo dough on the counter, on a cutting board. I'm going to layer the first one. I'm going to do a little brush of butter. Then I'm going to take a second layer of the phyllo dough and do the same thing. Then I'm going to scoop a little bit of cream cheese, about a tablespoon, in the center of this little 4x4. Then I'm going to take 2 really beautiful dates, and I'm going to take the pits out, the shore, the seeds out, and go ahead and use a little poultry shear and cut the dates into little rounds, like almost like a little jalapeno pepper, but it's a date. And go ahead and lay those in the cream cheese. Then what I like to do for this dish is you can use a number of different nuts. Originally, I used to use just almonds that were slivered, but I found that pecans are the best. So I'm going to take some broken pecans. I'm just going to add to crumble them over the cream cheese and the date. Okay, it sounds wacky, I know it. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and take another layer of phyllo dough and put that over the top, and I'm going to do another brush of the phyllo dough, and I'm going to keep doing that until I get about six layers of phyllo dough with that mixture inside. Now, go ahead around the 4x4 and just roll the edge up. This is what I like to do. Just roll the edge up, and you're going to take a little spatula, and you're going to place that on a simple non-stick baking sheet. If it is a stick possibility, go ahead and brush the baking sheet with a really minuscule amount of cooking oil. I'm talking about nothing, a couple of drops, just to make sure it doesn't stick. Go ahead and bake those at 350 until they get golden brown. And what I do, because I have to do this, I pull them out about 4 minutes into it, and I give it another little brush of butter. And you'll know when they're done, when they're golden brown. If you're at 350, the whole process should take in a nice preheated 350 oven. Once you cook it, probably about 6-7 minutes. And let me tell you what, you pull it out of the oven. You do those sort of right before you serve everything. And then right on your cutting board, use a little cleaver or a nice good pizza knife and go ahead and cut those in quarters. My gosh, your guests are going to go crazy. Imagine taking a bite of that crunchy phyllo dough with the cream cheese and the pecans. Oh, my gosh, and the date. It is just something. It is something. And, I've done something a little further. And sometimes I've taken a little bit of honey and a little bit of pulverized nuts, and specifically pistachios, so you get that little green powder. And I go ahead and I take a little bit of honey, I drizzle it over the top, and then I brush or I sprinkle some of those pistachio crumbles over the top. My gosh, you're going to get an appetizer, and it's going to just blow your mind. And it's incredible. All right, so we got that. Let's do a spanakopita real quick. This is one of my favorites, and spanakopita is amazing. Get a 4x4, let's see, get a 4-inch deep baking dish. I am old-fashioned. I like to use metal baking dishes because I had kind of a bad experience with Pyrex many years ago, and for some reason I've never been able to use a Pyrex glass dish again in any of these dishes. Simply put, I made a beautiful casserole, beautiful lasagna, and I pulled it out of the oven, put it directly on a cold counter. And the cold stone counter just didn't like the heated Pyrex, and it cracked it in a million pieces and actually kind of exploded little slivers of glass into the food, and it blew the whole meal. So I've never gone back. It's my little pet peeve. So I like to use a little hotel 4-inch deep pan or a nice, clean stainless steel baking dish. And what you're going to need here is very simple. You're going to need, the biggest component is a good small bowl full of about a stick and a half of butter melted with your brush. Then you're going to go ahead and get a box of phyllo dough, some people say, and then you're going to use this to make your following mixture in a large bowl. Now, I like to use fresh spinach, but a lot of people can use frozen spinach, and that's fine. The biggest issue with this is to make sure you defrost it way in time and drain all the water out. It has to be as dry as it can be, okay? So if you're going to use a box of regular spinach, that's up to you. I would prefer you to use a couple of pounds of fresh spinach, and to me, it's just it's the piece de resistance. So go ahead and put that, take that large bowl, and go ahead and put two to three bunches of spinach. Make sure you clean and wash it really well. Cut the stems off as much as you can, and rinse it. Make sure you get any of the mud and stuff off of it. Spinach likes to have little hiding places where mud lives. Now, in a big bowl, you put that amount of spinach in. Then we're going to add the following. We're going to take some feta cheese and get a nice brick of feta cheese, about a half a pound, and go ahead and crumble it into the spinach. Delicious, huh? Now, next, I like to do this. I like to take two Vidalia or some sort of a sweet onion, cut them into small pieces, dice them up, not too small, and go ahead and saute them just a little bit just to make them translucent. Lucent and wilt them. You don't have to go for a caramelized onion here. You just want them translucent. Go ahead and add about a half of a cup to two-thirds of a cup of that nice onion mix, drained as much as possible into the spinach. Now, the next thing I do, and this is my thing totally, I take a tub, and I'm talking about a pint and a half of very dry cottage cheese and go ahead and dump it into that mixture. Ooh, it's sounding good, right? Okay, then we're going to use 4 eggs, use some organic fresh eggs, and go ahead. I take the eggs first, I put them in a small bowl, making sure there's no shells in them, and give it a good beating, and then go ahead and dump that into your mixture. Okay, now you're getting your filling almost ready. Now go ahead and salt and pepper it. Just do it by instinct, not too much salt, not too much, but a little bit just to give it a little boost, okay? Now, my thing I always do, you know that, is I take a little bit of lemon and I squeeze it into this whole mixture. So basically, it's simple. It's the fresh spinach. It's the feta cheese. It's the cottage cheese. It's the egg and the onion. And that's it. That's really my mixture for my spanakopita. Now, this is the fun part. Take your pan. Make sure you brush butter on all sides of it on the inside. Go ahead and take your first big sheet of phyllo dough, put it into the pan carefully. Go ahead and let it come up along the edges so that, you know, and even if it's big enough, it can go over the top a little bit. That's fine. And what you're going to do is go ahead and brush everything with butter, then go ahead and add a second layer. Do the same thing, brush it with butter, and go ahead and add a third layer. I like to have 3 on the bottom. It gives you a little substantial crust. All right, simply put, we're going to go ahead and take our spanakopita mix and go ahead and put a layer of that beautiful mixture onto that phyllo dough. All right? Sounding good so far? Oh, man, it is good. Trust me. Then go ahead, and what I like to do, the first point is almost like a lasagna, and people say, why do you do it this way? I like it. The first layer, I take all those 3 layers of dough, and I go ahead and I just, you know, make sure they brush really well. I take the first layer, and I go ahead and fold it in there on top of the spinach, okay? Then I take a little bit more of the spinach on top of that one layer of dough, about another maybe 1/4 inch on top of that. Nice? Okay. Then go ahead and take a fresh layer and put it, a phyllo dough, and put it over that mixture. Right now you should have about 1.5 inches to almost 2 inches of spinach mix. Go ahead and put that next layer of dough on top. Give it a brush. Go ahead and repeat it until you get 4 or 5 layers. Now, finally, go ahead and tuck nicely like you're doing, you're making the bed. Go ahead and take the edges of that phyllo dough and go ahead and put it on top, you know, carefully on top of that remaining dough, and go ahead and brush everything with butter. Oh, my gosh. The next thing I do is I take a piece of parchment paper. I put it over the pan really tight, and then I take the whole thing, I wrap it in foil, and I stick it in a 400-degree oven, okay? And I do this in the center rack, and I give it about 12 minutes or so, maybe 15, yeah, I would say between 12 and 15 minutes. At that point, I'm carefully, very, very carefully, I pull it out of the oven, and I carefully remove the foil, and I lift up the parchment paper, I remove that, and I'm starting to see everything looking pretty good, but I'm going to want to finish it off openly, so I'm going to go ahead, remove the parchment paper, go ahead and push the foil aside, put it back in the oven for about another 6 minutes until golden brown. Don't trick yourself. If it's looking golden, pull it, because it's going to continue to cook a little bit. At this point in time, go ahead and pull it out, put it on the counter, let it cool. Oh, my gosh, you have your homemade spanakopita. Now, you can do this individually, too, in the same way we did sort of the egg rolls, using the phyllo dough to make little triangles. But trust me, if you bake it all together, and then once it's done, cut it on the bias diagonally into these little triangle wedges, you will have a luscious, incredible spanakopita. I'm telling you, you'll be singing the praises. You'll be wanting to dance like you're on the beach, and you'll hear a bouzouki in the background, and you'll you know, retsina if you drink wine, and oompa is all I could say about that. All right, look, I could talk appetizers for 2 weeks, and I hope I've given you some. There's some I didn't even cover yet, like the mushrooms and the eggplant stack and all that. This week it'll be up on the Foodomania Facebook page, and you can always write me for my little appetizer pack, and I'll send you more stuff. All right, I want to tell you a couple of things real quick. How do you write me? Just write me at Chef Stuart, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And I will, and just in the subject line, put appetizers, and I will send you the pack. Also go to the Foodomania page. Also, you can tune in to www.k.com. S as in Sam, V as in Victor, R.org, and go to that website, and you'll be able to see some of the great Foodomania stuff, the kitchen cuisine stuff that I do. Just look up Eduardo, and you'll see stuff. Don't forget, you can also go to Blog Talk Radio again and listen to all the archives. Write me directly. And finally, www.1020radio.net. That's 1020radio.net, our new station, which is not new, but is starting to broadcast regularly. It'll give you some great information. This has been great. Thank you so much for listening. This is Stu Arlo. Thanks for all your support. Have a good day.